God. Let's lift our hands and thank God right now, for He is good. Oh, come on, let's hear that roar of praise. Praise God. We worship You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. This is an awesome day. Oh, we praise You, Lord. You are so good to us. Thank You, Lord. Ah, ha, 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 ha. You are wonderful, Lord. There is nothing impossible with You. For You. Thank You so much for this day, this hour. This is the day the Lord has made. Oh, we'll rejoice. Ha, ha, ha. Get happy in it. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Glory to God. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Be seated. I didn't have to go that far. Well, I hope you brought your Bibles with you. I want us to go and go to Mark chapter 9. We'll start out there because that's where I felt. Mark chapter 9. And then we're going to go to a couple of other scripture verses that I believe that the Lord wants us to go to. Mark chapter 9. And there's a story there in Mark chapter 9 that really is appropriate for what we want to discuss this morning. I don't know where I left my phone here. Somewhere. Thank You, Jesus. Whoever's got my phone, I want it back now. Mark chapter 9, let's go there, because it's my tool. So I need to find it. Pastor Ken, you better start running around, call the cops. You ask my wife if it's there. If not, it could be in my office. Oh, you could just forget it for now. We'll get it later, Pastor Ken. No, go ahead and go get it. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. He doesn't know if he's coming or going. Praise God. Anyway, thank You, Jesus. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here we want to go and talk about this morning, but not everything can be. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, that's what we're looking at. You know, we focus on healing this week. We talked about healing. We spent Tuesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, and we talked about healing. And we said we're going to talk about healing today. And I want, there's a couple of things that I want to talk about is divine healing for us today. Is healing available in the church, for the church, and in the church? My question is, where are all the healing evangelists? Where are all the healing ministries? Why aren't churches praying for the sick publicly in this city and around? Why aren't we doing that, what Jesus said, go heal the sick? And I believe the church has been disobedient for lacking in that manner, for being so timid and allowing the intellectuals or the academics or the whoever they are to intimidate people from performing what God has said. Jesus said the believing ones shall lay hands on the sick. The least we can do is lay hands on people. At least try it, if anything else. And here, let's go ahead and read here, Mark 9 and 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All things would include healing, and he's referring here to a healing case or someone needed healing. Let's go pick up from verse 14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. So Jesus arrived. He saw a crowd, and there was a lot of disruption going on, a lot of talking and excitement there, and also the religious people were there with Jesus. Now the disciples were Jesus' trained technicians when it came to healing, because Jesus sent them out with healing power. Jesus commissioned them, told them to go out into the world and heal and tell people that the kingdom of God is here. And they were commissioned by God to go out and tell people, heal the sick. One minister said, I've heard that many times, that the healing in the church is the dinner bell, which healing brings people to God. God will heal a downright sinner. God will touch anybody who is living in terrible conditions and not living for God. God will touch those people. That's how He is. That's how God is. The easiest people that I can say, for me, I consider myself a healing ministry. I'm only, I'm doing this. The Lord told me for directions, in the last, I think since 2000, said, don't do ministry like you're used to, because I ministered with what we call a tangible anointing. Well, I stopped doing that because the Lord told me to. He said, I mainly said to you that you're to be a pastor and to mainly teach. We teach on healing. But we never ministered along the same line. I'm excited about the fact that it almost scares me, the fact that I could be released on that. It's not an easy thing, because there's much controversy around healing, even within the church, let alone the public. And so there, Jesus came to his disciples. They were there doing what they're supposed to do, and that is to heal the sick. The scribes, which were the religious people, were questioning them. So anytime you want to follow God, you're going to have questions put on you. And you better have an answer. And you should have an answer. And so and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him and saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. A dumb spirit. We have a different kind of, we say jokingly around different people, we say, refer to them sometimes in that manner. But this guy had a dumb spirit, which he couldn't speak. He was, he couldn't hear. But it was not caused by a medical condition. My question is to you, when did demons stop attacking people's physical bodies? When did Jesus ever tell us that there wouldn't be any spirits ever attacking the people, and then the medical profession has taken completely over that area, that we don't have to do this anymore? And when someone has a mental case, it's just maybe a psychiatric condition, and we all ought to give him, supply him some pills and get his mind straight so that he can be stabilized emotionally in his thinking as well, so that he can function. Or when, someone is trying to cause him, wants to maybe, I had a call this week from someone who had someone from the community committed suicide. And, I told you when I went up north, I cast the spirit out of someone who was committing suicide or trying to commit suicide, and it was found many times, dangling on a rope. And when the Lord told me to cast that spirit, or at least talk to that woman first and then cast the spirit out of that woman, that spirit spoke to me. And, nobody else saw that spirit. This was a spiritual being. You can't see with your physical eyes. So, you know, things happen in the world that we need to explain some things. Now, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, pined away, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. They could not. So the disciples could not cast the spirit out of this person. And, you know, you think about it, why couldn't this happen? Why couldn't these people, Jesus commissioned them. Jesus gave them all a healing ministry there. How many people know that Jesus called, people to the healing ministry? He still does. He's still calling people to do that. And so this man says, let's go again. He says, one of the guys there said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit, and whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. I have some stories that can go along here just to show you something. But he answered and said to him, O faithful generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Thank God, you know, like we have medicines, we have medication, we have progressed in the area of helping people. And if there wasn't that natural help, a lot of us maybe perhaps would not be here today because of that. Thank God for that. God created that. God created medicine. God created people to have knowledge to help people. You know, even in our First Nations community, we have people who know, they call them medicine men, but they're not all spiritual. They're all, you know, herbalists, and, you know, those kind of people find different medicines to help people. And, you know, you have to understand, not everything is spiritual. You know, you go and that's what a lot of things are, like how you going to heal someone. You got to find some way, you know. So, he said, bring them to me. So they brought him to him, verse 20. When he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, wallowing and foaming. Verse 23, I can see this, like, When I called, I told my usher when I was praying for someone, I stopped right in the church service. I said, that lady back there, the Lord wants me to pray for you. And right now, yeah. Well, while I'm preaching, the Lord is talking to me while I'm preaching. I'm having a conversation with the Lord while I'm preaching my message, and the Lord says, stop your message, pray for this person. You know, you have to be sensitive to the Spirit to be able to hear that. So, when you're doing certain ministry, you have to take certain time to hear God and to get that anointing on you and to keep that anointing on you and not to be disturbed. So I called that person over, and then when that person came over, just exactly the way you read it there, the person started acting up, or that spirit started acting up, and the lady started to gyrate. And I mean, first of all, she's sitting just like anybody else there. You know, just like that, you wouldn't tell. No one couldn't tell. So we brought the person came over, and all of a sudden, about halfway through up to the front, the person started acting up and spitting out and growling and saying all kinds of things from the mouth. And in that church, people were afraid, and, you know, people scattered. And Jesus said to me, the Lord said to me, cast them out, the spirit's going to come out. In my name. I believed it. I cast out the spirit, and that person started to get worse. Started acting up a little bit more. So, you know, I mean, I'm glad I read the Bible. I'm glad I knew my scriptures. The Lord said to me, don't bother about the manifestation, what's going on there, because they did that when I did it. So I trusted the Lord. And so they started acting up, the pastor and all the elders started crying and wailing, and they're trying. I said, don't get away from her. Stop crying. And the person was completely relieved from the spirit. And she gave a testimony months later and told me what happened to her. And so there are spirits that are attacking people. You can't find that in the CAT scan. Amen. You can't say that in MRI. X-ray. This is you got to have discernment in the spirit and the ability to see the spirit realm or listen to God and get the word of knowledge to minister in this way and just the way Jesus ministered. Jesus ministered this way. And I'm not saying that every person who has, you know, this illness or that does that or has a, you know, suicide has a spirit in them. Not everybody, not every situation there is a spirit present. See, you don't manufacture this. You have to be led by the Spirit. It takes the gifts of the Spirit to minister that way. You can't just guess. Let me just look at this guy. He looks like he's got, you know, a cigarette habit, a demon, a coffee demon. He smells like a Timmy's. No, you can't guess. You have to be able to, the Spirit of God has to show you. And so thank God that he can show us. And I'm showing you here, I want to get some points out of this. The Bible says oftentimes it threw him in the fire, so on. Jesus said, if you can believe, no, okay, verse 22. Verse 21, because we read 20. And he asked his father, how long ago since this came unto him? Now, Jesus is conversing with the dad of this young man, talking to this young man's dad. How many people know that this young man, this dad was responsible for this young man? When it comes to healing, we're responsible for our own children who depend on us. Like you can pray for your kids anytime when they're young, you know, to a certain degree. After they get older in their teens and they want to do their own thing, you have to get them to agree with you so you can pray with them. You can't just pray for them and expect something to happen. No, you have to expect, you got to get them to say, can I pray for you? I want to pray for you. They say, okay, then you can pray for them. Then God can move on them. You have to get permission from people. God's not going to force people. He won't force anybody. Because you can't just pray your will on somebody else. The Bible says, whatsoever you will. John 15:7. Whatsoever you ask in prayer, whatever you believe and when you pray. Not when somebody else prays, or it's what you believe. So there's a certain amount of responsibility we have for our own praying. And of course, we can help each other with prayer. We can encourage each other. And we should encourage each other. And we should know how to pray together and pray for one another. And where the Bible says we can pray, and where our responsibility begins, and where does it end? Because spiritual things, you're not responsible for everybody. You know, we need to do our own praying. I don't know if you saw Kenneth Copeland's Faith to Faith this week. I was reading that. I sent it to some of my pastors. I said, "Do your own praying." There are certain things we have to pray for ourselves. See? I see people, ministers, asking everybody to pray for them. They all pray for me. Like two times, three times this week, people asking for you to pray for them about certain things. You know, thank God we can ask for prayer in certain instances and ask God to help us. But there's certain things that you shouldn't be publishing because the devil's going to get a hold of that and start attacking you anyway. The more you cry, the more he'll attack. Tell faith people. Tell someone that you believe. You know, it takes two, the Bible says, to believe, agree on something. And maybe, think about it. Maybe that's why your prayer hasn't worked. You know, when prayer works, you're happy. When your prayer doesn't work, you're not happy. The key to believing prayer is knowing when you prayed the prayer, just joy happening. When you believe something, there's joy in there. You know, that's what it says. I believe it's, where is that, John 15:13? Believing. When you believe, if you really believe something, you'll have joy in your heart that what you prayed for has been granted before you even see it or touch it or smell it or whatever. You have joy in your heart. Man, thank God. Oh, yes, I have it. Second thing is peace. You just have peace about it. It might look terrible. It might be just so horrible. But you, inside of you, you have peace. Let's look at that scripture for a second. I think you're thinking about it. I see Mr. King's eyes all fired up. John 15:13 says, "Not a God of hope." Said a God of hope. The Lord said to me, "As long as there's a God, there's hope." Amen. As long as there is a God, yeah, then there's hope. He says, "The God of hope fill you with all joy." Why does He fill you with all joy? And also peace. In believing. So you may abound with hopes through the power of the Holy Ghost. So, you know, when someone is believing, there's that joy, there's that peace. Thank God, you know, you're acting like it's so. And, well, you know, you don't have it. You might not have your healing, you might not have your answer, but you're glad because, hey, God said it. I believe it. And we've got to get our eye on it. Now let's go back to that story here. We took a little trail, but it helps us. So the Father, Jesus talking to the Father, because He's asking some questions. And I think, you know, sometimes when we pray, we're too quick to pray for people. And this is a good example here of learning to pray with people. Ask people about certain things, about what's going on in their lives, so you can listen to them and pray for them. Don't just pray for people right away. Find out about them. Find out about what they believe. Find out what they know about what they can believe. So where you can come in and agree with them. And how you can help them in certain situations. So Jesus talked to this man. How long ago has this come unto him? He said, of a child. In other words, he had it since he was a little child. Had a condition. Verse 22, oftentimes it cast him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if thou can't do anything, or if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So the man is saying, Jesus, my child has this situation. My boy, he seems like he's, you know, has kind of suicidal spirit. He's thrown into fire, thrown into water. He runs into try to drown or whatever. And he has this situation. And the man is desperate. Can you imagine how he felt? Nothing could be done for him. He runs to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if you can do anything for me. Somebody said, if is always a badge of doubt. If. And if you take if, you know, that's you know, we need to be emphatically, strong about what we believe. But the one thing about it, you have to understand that this man believed that the ministry could help them. First of all, we go back in the beginning, the outset of this story. This fella went to Jesus, the disciples, because they were trained people and they were commissioned to go to Jesus Jesus. They were commissioned to go out and bring healing to people, and they couldn't do it. And that's not a question we must ask, answer ourselves, is why couldn't they do it when Jesus said to do it? And that's a question for the church today that I wanted to bring back into it, and that is like, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't churches praying once a month, once a week, or whenever? Why aren't we doing it on a regular basis when the Bible says it's full of healing? Did it go out of style? I mean, you know, should we just abandon and say completely that we shouldn't pray? I mean, this kind of sad issue. Some people say just to, pray for someone and thank God for, that we have medicine and so on. But, there's more than that. There's some conditions that will never be healed medically. It scripturally says that. And, we look in the Old Testament, we studied the Testament and see that in the Old Testament, healing God, there was healing in that Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. Then it comes to the New Covenant, and there's healing in the New Covenant as well. So Jesus was fulfilling what God had put in his covenant. And that is to bring healing to people. This was not a medical thing. This was not a psychological thing, but this is a spiritual way to minister to the sick. When we minister to the spirit of man. Sometimes we have to bypass people's heads to get them healed and get agreement with their spirit. Because man is made of three spirits, and most of the time, people are too dominant in one section of their creation, and that is their soul is so stronger than their spirit man. Because their mind is not renewed, they don't understand, they're led primarily by what they feel, what they think, and they believe so much in everybody else's opinion, but they don't believe what God says. Healing is not prevalent. Have you noticed that in our society? And even, like I said, in the church even. When did it stop? So, anyway, there's so many questions we have. So, the man said to Jesus, if it's possible, if you're possible, can you do something for us. Help us out. If you can do anything, have compassion upon us and help us. Here's Jesus' response, and this is our text of scripture we start out with. Jesus answered and said to him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, specifically speaking, Jesus is referring to the man and the boy's condition, his situation, which has something to do with healing and health or mental health or physical well-being and safety, and all that stuff is included in there. If you can believe, all things are possible. When did that stop? When did this statement stop becoming effective in our lives, or in our society, or in the church? You know, we need to learn to believe. We need to be encouraged to believe that, long as there's a God, if there's a God, there's hope. And if Jesus is right in making this statement, this should apply to us today. And that's why I'm bringing this up, and that's why we had the 3 days of talking about healing, and we had about 12 people come to the morning sessions, 15 people. And I wanted it to be in the morning because I didn't want it to be just another regular healing service at night. I wanted people to come during the day if they're interested and they're really serious about what we're talking about. That eliminates a lot of just another healing service, you know. Just pray for the sick. See what happens. No, we want to train people, give them the word of God and tell them exactly what the word says. So I want you to notice verse 22 in the Amplified Version. Verse 22, the last section of verse 22, and as the man said, as often as thrown him into the fire, into the water, intending to kill him. Like, how come this little boy didn't just say, no, I don't want to run in the water. I don't want to run into the fire. It seemed like it had control over this young man so much that it controlled his will. I believe there's sometimes some people in some certain situations, you know, sometimes a devil can be so dominant in someone's life that it seems like they're so deceived that they can't stop doing what they're doing. I used to wonder every time I woke up in jail. How did I get here? Why did I do this again? Lord, if you get me out of here, I'll never do it again. As soon as I got out, I'm back on doing the same thing. We need to see. So, intended to kill him, but if you can't do anything, do have pity on us and help us. Now, Jesus responds, verse 23, the Amplified, Jesus said, you say to me, if you can do anything? Jesus puts that responsibility back on the man. So here's everybody, this story tells us about you sitting right here with your illness. and you keep coming up for prayer about the 27 times I laid hands on you, and you're still not healed. Either I'm telling you something wrong, either this Bible is not true, or I'm completely out of it. I don't have any kind of anointing. Even if I didn't have any anointing, if you believe, you still get healed. It has nothing to do whether I'm, who determines who prays the prayer of faith? That's the question in, James 5. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Not the man of God, but the one who's going determines that. So everyone is pushing their responsibility about what they should be doing to believe God on someone else. They're not taking that responsibility. They want you to do it for them. And so Jesus said this. Pastor Kent, you pretend you're the man. Pretend you're just as needy as possible. Think about.
Help me. Help my son.
Where's your son at?
He's in the fire.
He's in the fire. Well, would it get him out of that? So how long has it happened to this guy?
His whole life.
His whole life. Mm-hmm. What you been feeding that guy? He's a little pudgy. Okay, anyway. He's got his boy there. You see his boy? How many don't see that boy? Okay, so anyway, you have to tell me, the man told Jesus, if you can do anything for us, please have compassion, help us.
Yeah, if you can do anything, please help us.
And then Jesus turns around, tells the man, if I can do anything, go sit down over there. No, Jesus turns it around. Now, the man, with all his natural ability to ask for help, you can see the man is in terrible need to ask for help. He's coming to Jesus. I mean, he's a desperate man. He's desperate. He's got no answers. In fact, he brought his son to his disciples who were supposed to make this kid well. They couldn't. They should have, because they had power to do it. Jesus sent them out. Jesus commissioned them. Jesus gifted them. He empowered them. And yet they could not heal the boy. I wonder if that's happening in churches today. That healing ministries and churches are not doing what they're supposed to do. Why is that? Why is that happening? And I know, I struggle with certain things sometimes. I don't know if someone, I remember last time we were having lots of healing services and stuff, and that, it can be tiring. It can be tiring because, you have that burden. Sometimes you take it on emotionally. You shouldn't, but you have to learn not to. When you go home at night, they tell you, I don't know, counselors, if you're a counselor, I worked in the field for serving people. They tell you, just turn it off when you go home. Sometimes it's hard to turn it off when you go home. So this guy, and Jesus turns around, he said to him, if I can do anything, that's his question to the man. And the church, and all the people that was there. If I can do anything, you're talking to me. Amen. That's what he's saying, right? If I can do anything, he's saying, what do you mean if I can do anything? He turns that question back. He puts it back on the man. He says, if you can believe. He didn't say what Jesus could do, what I could do, but he said, if you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I think here's something that I think about a lot. And I go into my classroom sometimes at the college, and I meet a lot of students in my experience of teaching. Adult students. A lot of them come in there. They've worked so hard that they have to switch their jobs because they've been injured. They're changing their careers. Moms coming back. Moms who have been home for 40 years all of a sudden have to go to work. Their husband died. They have to get a new career. They're sitting in there and they're feeling sometimes almost hopeless. Someone drank all their life. I had one young man who spent most of his adult life on Hastings Street in Vancouver, selling himself, prostituting himself in order to get the next hit. He's sitting in my classroom and he doesn't know whether or not he's going to live or not. Do you remember that guy? I don't know if you remember him or not, but anyway, these guys, you know, people come there, and I said, in this classroom, you're allowed to dream. We want to restore your ability to dream again. You're out in the world where the world has killed your ability to dream large, to dream big, that anything is possible in your life. And I think that's what's happened in the church, that the enemy or whatever circumstance has squished that ability to think big, that Jesus said all things are possible. That's dreaming big. Let's go to Ephesians for a second here. I want to come back to that in a moment. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me, chapter 3, I believe it is. Chapter 3, there's a prayer in here that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Those people that was looking this morning, that you feel that you cannot make it, you're almost at the ledge of jumping over to nowhere, and you're almost giving up believing. How can we ever get over this situation? How can we ever get this person healed? How can we get our son off drugs? How can I come off drugs? How can I stop pornography? How can I stop lying, cheating? How can I do all this stuff? I mean, it seems like a hopeless situation. Here's Paul praying, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, by the Holy Spirit is giving Paul this anointed prayer. And this anointed prayer is giving us the will and plan of God for your life. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his mighty, with might by his Spirit in the inner man. God wants you to be strengthened in your inner man. To be strong in faith. To be strong in the things that you believe, that you're believing for. That God wants you to be strong, to pray and to believe today that you're going to make this, because your spirit man is just going to get a good zapping right here pretty soon. That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is their breadth, length, depth, and height. That's understanding a lot of things about God beyond your normal everyday. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. If we begin to understand how much God loves us, trust, you know, Kenneth Copeland always says, trust the love. Trust the love. Trust the fact that he loves you. He knows what's good for you. Trust him that he's going to love you like you would love your own child. How much you would care for your child. He loves you just like the way you care for your child, and even more. He wants the best for you. He says, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That God can do exceedingly above Anything you can think about right now. Anything you, if you're dreaming big, God can do bigger than what you're dreaming about right now. He can do much better than what you ever can think about. Imagine. He's awesome. And Jesus said to the man, if I can believe, it's not what I can do, it's what you can do, what you believe. What do you believe about this situation right now? And I'm going to ask you a question. What do you believe about your situation? Who's putting you down to trust to go further than what you imagine in your mind, but you're having trouble in your emotions? See, this man was having a spiritual conniption. I don't know. He's having a crisis at that moment, right there. And this man, he's having what they call a fight of faith going on. A fight of faith, I want you to listen to this. A fight of faith is not necessarily a devil attacking you at that very moment. A fight of faith is when you have to fight with yourself to believe and trust God and to know that He's going to help you out. That fight of faith has to do with you fighting and struggling with your emotions and your mind and telling your mind to come in line with the Word of God. Corinthians 10, or 2 Thessalonians, let's go there for a second. Look at that scripture again. We've looked at some of these scriptures before. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because when it comes to believing God for something, you're gonna struggle. It's not going to be easy to believe. You see, some of these people who came to Jesus, it was a struggle for them. They had to break out of their normalcy, their cultural thinking, the thought of today, their dependency or independency or whatever it is they were fighting. Did you see, did you find 2 Corinthians? Chapter 10, verse 10, 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 4 talks about strongholds. Some people have strongholds in their mind. They build up this, mentality. The stronghold is a mentality that's there in your mind that's fighting you to believe what can be possible. It could be a cultural thing. It could be an environmental thing. You're the people that you hang around, your environment, whoever you're hanging around with is pulling you down, the people you hang around with. How many people know it's important who you hang around with and fellowship with so that they can encourage you every single day that whatever that you're struggling with is possible to get out of it? When Jesus said all things are possible, he's talking about arteries that are clogged could be unclogged. He's talking about kidneys that are not working to function properly. He's talking about people who have debilitating back problems can be made straight and strong. He's talking about people who have a compulsion and addiction to drugs can suddenly not have that anymore. To have that deliverance. All things are possible would include all those things. But we've gotten to the place where we allowed the world or whatever, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to this world. I think the church is being conformed to this world instead of, conforming to the Word of God. So when our thinking becomes like their environment and social environment that we're around us becoming like them, then it's not possible for us to think beyond that anymore. To think about is possible. God's Holy Spirit is here. Stronger than ever. God is everywhere. There's no place in the world that you can go that God's not there. But he's not manifesting everywhere. It takes faith to manifest his power. It takes believing God to manifest that power in our lives. You know, Hebrews 11, 6 says it's impossible, without faith it's impossible to believe or to please God. Those that want to please God with the faith must believe that He is. In other words, believe that He's here now. Believe that He exists right here in this city, right now, in this spot right now. God is here. God, Almighty God, is here right now in His presence right now. And then the two things that He gave in that verse of Scripture, number one, you have to believe that God is, that He exists. Number two, you got to believe that God is a rewarder. God will do you good when you begin to seek Him. You know, I've learned something just being in the ministry, just being around, watching things, listening to the old timers. And when I go to Rhema Bible School, I listen to the ministers there that have been there for years. I listen to Brother Hagin. I was taught by a prophet. Me. I was. You were. I was taught by a prophet. I sit under his ministry for years. I listen to the man. I listen to hours. Hours and hours and hours of this man's healing ministry, and listen to what he had to say and what his other people had told him about the healing and why people didn't get healed. And this one didn't get healed. They should have been healed, could have been healed. The Bible says in John, Mark 5, 6 and 5 says that Jesus went to his hometown and he announced to people, guys, hey, listen, I've got a healing ministry. It says over there, right? He said, I got a healing ministry. That's the fourth chapter of the book of Luke. Luke, he went home. He went to church, and he picked up that thing in the synagogue. He says, this scripture, Isaiah, he's talking about me. I got a healing ministry. And everybody there, when he mentioned that thing, they just had a great party and had a healing revival. No, they're just about ready to kill him. Who do you think you are? And people tell me the same thing. I put on my Facebook on Tuesday, I think Wednesday, we're going to have a healing prayer, healing school. And right away, someone attacked me right away. A scribe. I'm serious. He said, who do you think you are? Why don't you go to the sick children's hospital and heal all the elders and heal all the sick people over there? First of all, the hospitals wouldn't permit me to have a healing service in there. Policies and insurance and laws and everything wouldn't permit me to do stuff like that. I don't have a license to heal spiritually, heal it that way. Besides, not everybody believes that way. Not everybody is attracted to the gospel in that fashion to allow you to do that. Jesus didn't just heal anybody if they didn't want to. Jesus said, I'm going to heal you whether you like or not. Be healed right now. I know you're full of unbelief. Let's heal you right now. No, he didn't. He healed whoever was ready to receive him. The Bible says, if they don't receive you, just get out of town. He told his men. Because it's not going to work. It takes believing prayer. We know that for sure. So he says in here, strongholds is your mentality. It's not a demon. It could be, but highly likely not. It says right here, strongholds, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against everything that's against healing and health and what's possible for you. Whether that your healing comes through an operation and God works through that, fine, thank God. If that's where you are, let's believe God for that. Let's use medicine and believe God. I mean, I was brought in school. We were in Rhema Bible Training Center. They taught us, you know, hey, if healing and medicine, let's believe, praise God. God will come to wherever you are. God will come and come down to you. You know, that story over there, the sixth chapter, you know, we talked about that in the pool of Bethesda. God sent an angel there. You all remember that, the story about the pool of Bethesda? God sent an angel there. At a certain season, troubled the water. Whoever first went into the water was healed, whatever disease he had. no matter who it was. And whoever went first got healed. And God moved in a spectacular way, in a sovereign act, and he did it on his own. No one was saying, doing a prayer meeting, a prayer service. No one was teaching anything. God was just doing it on his own. And Jesus came by before that was, I mean, that was happening before Jesus came by. And God would send an angel there. So Jesus came by with the anointing. He had the Spirit of God on him. He had the anointing on him. He came by to that place where the people were, waiting for one guy, waiting for the moving of water. Everybody said, waiting. So just a lot of church people waiting for the movie, waiting for some special thing. Wigglesworth used to say, what if the Spirit, somebody said, what if the Holy Ghost is not moving? He said, well, I move the Spirit. If the Holy Ghost is not moving in here, let's move the Spirit. Well, how do you do that? Well, turn the switch of faith on. Believe. And that's what he said. If the Holy Ghost is not moving, I move the Spirit. A lot of times I'll do that by people not even knowing that I'm helping them turn the switch of faith on. I get them to just agree with me, even if their heads don't agree with me. I'll get them to agree with me in their spirit. I'll say, let's all stand up. They stand up. I'll say, let's lift up one hand. Everybody lift up one hand. I said, let's up the other. They lift their hand. Those who will do it. I'm getting them participate in faith. I said, say this, say, God is my healer. God is my healer. And they say it. They might not even believe that right then. But if you can get people to agree with you, you can bypass their head and get into their heart and believe, and you can get them help. I remember going to Benny Hinn's meetings. I would sit there with buggy eyes. I would travel wherever he went. And I take down information. I sit in the front row, second row, first row, second row. I'd always sit and watch what he said. Watch what he did. Watch what someone said to him. Watch what the guy said. I was at a service in Tulsa. And lady says, I came here all the way from Ohio. Oh, pick that lady up. And they picked that lady up. Bring her here. And I was watching that, you know, and the lady says, I came here and I couldn't get in. I couldn't get in. The doors were so full. They shut the doors on us. They locked the stadium. There's no more room to get in. He said, I thought if I could just put my ear and hear what he had to say, I could be healed. And she got healed. Amen. I heard the woman. I heard her faith speaking. She said, if I can just drive to Tulsa, if I can just drive to the Maybe Center, if I can just, I can't get it, but if I can just listen, I'll be healed. If I can just hear his voice. That was her faith talking. That was her releasing of her faith. Because many said, the Lord touched me. I told you that before, like, you know, when the Lord spoke to me about the healing ministry. I was touched by a healing minister, a man who, Wigglesworth, who was a healing minister, a healing ministry. When I read his books, the anointing just touched me right away. I had the gift of faith in me. Bang, it came on me. Like, whoo! This came on me, just to say it, just like that. I can just do anything. I can just do anything. Whatever he tells me to do, I can just do it. I felt so strong, sister. I felt really powerful. Woo-hoo-hoo! It came on me. In a moment of time, I just, whoo, boy, I can just do whatever. And all of a sudden, that anointing left me. I came back to myself. What happened? It was a gift of faith. That anointing touched me. It touched me a lot. It touched my life. It helped me in everything. It also helped me with the ministry to believe that I'm a minister. That same anointing, that same way came upon me that I'm a minister now. And people try to talk me out of it. You're not a minister. You had this wrong with you. You did that. You look at your background. Look how much what you did. No, I believe because God put that in me. He put it in me. I'm a minister. I was not a Raymond graduate. I didn't go to Oral Roberts University. I was not ordained. I didn't go to Bible school. But I knew that God called me to the ministry. What is that? It's the anointing. It's the gift of faith. The gift of faith came in me to just believe. The Lord said to me, tell the people to stand up. I'll fill them with the Spirit right now. Stand up and be filled. And they started speaking in tongues simultaneously. Never gave them three scriptures. Never gave them instruction. Just healed, just like that. That's the gift of faith in operation, in a measure. I believe, you can believe what you want to believe. I'm waiting for the day when I can see into the realm of the Spirit, just like Brother Hagin. I believe that one day, I believe that, you know, that people will just get healed just because of the healing ministry, and the anointing will come on me strong, and I'll just say, hey, listen, you had cancer for 9 months, you're healed right now, bang, that's going to be gone. The only way that's going to happen is that if I begin to say it, if you say it. Jesus said to me, when the Lord sent me to Hearst, and I'm driving over to Hearst, the Lord said to me, I want you to tell them I've anointed you. I said, I'm not going to say that. I don't want to say it. At that time in 1991, I didn't know anybody saying, I'm anointed. I was afraid to say it. I never heard one pastor, heard one preacher said they're anointed to heal the sick. I said, I'm not going to do it. The Lord said, you have to do it. And he took me to his scripture, which I told you, he went to his own hometown. He said, I'm anointed. He said, if I did it, you have to do it. If you believe it, you'll say it. If you don't say it, then you don't believe it. Everything starts with a confession, with a belief and a confession. If you don't say it, it's because you don't believe it. If you need to be confessed, if you need to believe it, begin to get the word in there or get around somebody and catch the spirit of faith. If you hang around with me for a while, all of a sudden you start acting like me. You'll be acting like those people because you do it anyway. Whoever you hang around with, you'll act like them. And that's how you catch the spirit of faith. That's how you catch the spirit of the anointing on people. We've learned that the anointing or the power of God can be caught by being in a certain kind of environment where that's why people travel to big like the Tampa, Florida. They go to Rodney Howard Brown's meeting, come back, and they feel like Rodney Howard Brown, you know. How many people want to go home here? He just says God can do it in an hour. That's Rodney, right? And Benny is, please, everybody, please. You know, so we hang around people, or you hang around Brother Hagin, and you start teaching only. Who you hang around with? That same spirit will come on you. But all things are possible. I want to, just encourage you. Come back tonight, if you can. If you can't, don't come back. We're going to trust the Lord, amen? Yeah. We're going to pray for the sick. We're going to trust the anointing. Yeah. Let's all stand up on our hands. Because these people say, stand up on your feet. That's a little redundant, isn't it? That's how you usually stand up on your feet, right? Hallelujah! Hallelujah. I said hallelujah! Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. What do you got? What are you going to play? Thou art worthy. She's going to sing her first song from her third album.
You can do it.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Don't we get our eyes off on Jesus. Amen. Everybody say, God is good. And his mercy endures forever. Say, God is compassionate. To all of his children. Say, God is in me. God is here right now. His word is true concerning everything he said, including healing. God wants to heal the sick. God wants me well. It's his will that I be well, not be sick, to live out my life and to perform and to do what he called me to do. I believe God will heal the sick. When they come to him, when they believe, I thank you, Lord, that I'm a believer and I trust the Lord. I trust Mark 16. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I believe what Jesus said, that healing belongs in the church, for the church, and to use that to evangelize. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's praise Him one more time. Father, we praise You. We praise You. We thank You, Lord, for the healing ministry. We thank You for what You're doing in our midst. Thank You for those that need healing in their bodies. I praise You for those that had a struggle with believing, whatever it is they're having trouble with. Thank You. Thank You. The Lord's reminding me of those people that said that they're weak. They didn't feel strong. They needed strength. The Lord said, if you just begin to do what you were told this morning, strength would be yours. If you begin to expect, something different, strength will be there. Thank You, Lord, for the strength of God. Thank You, Lord, for the strength of God. There's also people, there's someone here, I don't know, maybe one or two people, that are struggling with, I can hear this in your soul. I'm scared. God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Cast that old spirit coming on you. Cast it out. I begin to thank Him and praise Him and say, I am strong. I am strong. I'm not afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not fear hinder me. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Glory to Jesus. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll walk. They'll not get weary. They'll run and not faint. If that's you,